It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Well, yeah, Cusumano coming up here in just a little bit. I must say, and Fred and I have talked about this before, I don't think that Sue is quite as dependent on baseball entertainment, but man, it has been fun to watch the Cardinals, and they are, you know, on this 8-game winning streak right now.
Good.
They're still in second place. The Cubs are pretty good. You know, I've mentioned that before. The Mets beat them yesterday, but the Cubs won, I think, on Saturday. And had they not done that, we might be tied for first place right now. But that's still a possibility. They're in Philadelphia. I don't even think they return home until next week because they go on the road this weekend as well. I want to get to some media stuff. We're going to have Selena Zito join us. And one of the questions that I was going to have for her is this New York Magazine, I think it's a hit piece on John Fetterman, Pennsylvania Senator. Selena is based there in Pittsburgh and knows Pennsylvania very well. She was there, as we indicated, during the assassination attempt, and she tends to think that I think this New Yorker piece was a hit piece as well. She'll join us tomorrow at 3:25, and we'll get all the skinny on that. But let me kind of go, and I've used Bill Maher probably, I've said this before, more than, I think he would be in the top five of audio cuts of the day. Trump's definitely number one, and no one's ever going to pass that. But Bill Maher says things on a regular basis that seem to whack the left upside the head, and he makes a lot of sense to those of us on the right. Now, you know, he still considers himself more of a liberal, but he's not crazy. And he sees what his party, what the Democrats are doing right now, and none of it makes a lot of sense. So there we have Jasmine Crockett from down there in Houston, who, of course, went to a fancy private school here in St. Louis, and here's her advice. Now, to a certain extent, I don't want to give her too much credit. She might not be wrong about her end point here, but here's what she said.
It is this fear that the people within the party, within the primary system, will have about voting for a woman, because every time we voted for a woman, we've lost so far. And I think that that's a natural fear, because we just want to win. So there's a lot of people that are like, you know what? Like, let's go find the safest white boy we can find.
So I'm going to agree with that last part, because I do think that there are people in the party that say, let's go say, you know, find the safest white guy or white boy we can find. But here's the part where she's off. And this is what Tashara did last week as well. And I had someone that kind of weighed in on the ex formerly Twitter over the weekend. I have to pull this up because I thought it was interesting. And I had posted, we talked about this quite a bit on the roundtable on Friday, this piece about, you know, Tashara going on the local NPR station pulling the race card.
It's everyone's a race. Fault. It's not the fact that she did a poor job.
It's race and women card.
Oh, right? That's right. Though we voted her in.
Well, that's the thing.
So
I think
where
they forget
are the racists
that.
In the...
Did we have an African-American president for 8 years?
Yes, we
okay,
did.
I thought so, too. I thought maybe that was a part of American history that I missed. But so this person, and this is not someone I want to give attention to. It's literally someone like 10 followers on Twitter. But they responded to my tweet about Tashara, and they said, LOL, so Trump was reelected because he was so good at his job the first time. Ait and BTW. By the way, that's what the kids use, Sue. Didn't he beat, this is my favorite part, didn't he beat two of the most qualified candidates in history who just happened to also be women? You're right. Race and gender never play a role. Now, look, we can argue about Hillary Clinton and certainly the resume, the qualifications. Thank God we kept her out of the White House. But she certainly was qualified, okay? I think we could have a pretty good debate even amongst the left whether Kamala Harris was qualified to be anything. to be anything. I mean, I'm shocked that she was Attorney General of California.
I mean, she would be qualified that way, but she can't speak. It all just comes out like a word salad, and there's no actual direction.
No, exactly. So, you know, I've talked about this guy. Do you know who David Hogg is, Sue, if I say
no.
the name David Hogg? He was there, and you know, look, you got to be a little honest here about the experience that he went through, because he was there at the shooting in Florida at Stoneman Douglas High School. And he kind of came out of that as one of the he was a senior, I think, at the high school at the time, came out of that and championed anti-gun rights. Should I say that? And he kind of rose through the ranks of progressives. He got a lot of attention because he's been out there on the talk shows. So he's now the vice chair of the Democrat National Committee. I had thought that because there was some controversy about David a few weeks ago that he had removed himself from that position, but apparently not. So he goes on Bill Maher's show just this weekend.
Look, we're very proud of you. We feel you grew up on this show. How many times have you been on this show?
This is my third time.
Oh, I thought it was like eight. Okay, well.
No, I'm not that old yet.
You've done very well. No, you're only 25, and you're the vice chair of the Democratic National Committee. Very impressive. What does that job entail?
All right, check this out.
So that job really helps to play a role in managing a lot of what the DNC focuses on, which is things like the presidential primary. It's helping to be the campaign and waiting for the president. It's helping to manage the debate schedule and helping to support our state parties and local parties around the country. It's a volunteer role, I should add, as well. So it's entirely volunteer capacity.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
So nothing.
I thought that was great. Now, he continued here a little.
Right now, what I think happened last election is younger men, they would rather vote for somebody who, even if they don't completely agree with, they don't feel judged by, than somebody who they do agree with, that they feel like they have to walk on eggshells around constantly because they're going to be judged or ostracized or excommunicated. And what's interesting about this moment is it feels like the two parties in some senses have flipped, where, you know, Republicans used to be the judgmental assholes in many ways. And since many Democrats, despite us, I would say for most of us, coming from the right place of wanting to do the right thing, we've created a culture where we say, well, if you say the wrong thing, you're excommunicated. And that's just not how human beings work. Nobody is perfect. But ultimately, what we have to do here is figure out how to bring people back in and work towards the bigger goal of advancing the future of this country and helping young people especially get by so that they're able to focus on their lives and, you know, getting with a young woman or something like that, instead of how are they going to pay their rent, for example, or how are they working their two jobs. Young people should be able to focus on what young people should be focused on, which is how to get laid and how to go and have fun.
So I was kind of shocked to hear some of that from David Hogg, because I think he's been one of the judgmental types, but he's not wrong about that part. And by the way, I wouldn't even disagree with him on the part that Republicans used to be the, you know, judgmental a-holes, because I always had kind of a little problem when Republicans would do stuff like that. But it has flipped, which is kind of interesting. Now, Bill is very aware of this, and he's tried to highlight this many, many times, not only on his show, but on his podcast, and when he's been, you know, a guest on other shows as well. So he kind kind of went off on how the Democrats, we're not trying to help them here this afternoon, but just trying to highlight the reality of what goes on. And I like Mr. Maher and what he said here.
If the thought leaders in the Democratic Party keep encouraging and not rebuking the idea that America is cringe and the people who run Gaza are great, the Democrats are doomed. Alyssa Slotkin's right. Liberals are weak and woke, especially the white ones, and they indulge all sorts of nonsense from their kids, a pattern that then continues on in the Democratic Party.
I thought that was a very interesting observation because I think that happens. I think that these kids go off, well, they're brainwashed in probably as early as elementary school, depending on the district that you're in here. I'm hoping that my daughter's not, but they certainly are brainwashed further outside of that. And there's many of us who are not exactly lefties who have kids who have gone through this. Now, I'm in a fortunate situation where even though I got called out by one of my sons as a transphobe a few years ago, we don't have any tension. We don't really bring up politics. I think as they've both gotten older, they may see things through a different lens, which is certainly not unanticipated and welcome. As you mature, you see things a little differently. Believe me, I'm not telling you that they're on my side of politics, but I do think that they're thinking about some of these issues, even these American-related issues. I see so many people on the left, and we're going to highlight this with Chris Klemm in the next hour, who's going to be back with us after working with the administration. He's a former Border Patrol agent, but all of these. So I don't know if you saw this, the Democrats over the weekend, mayors, members of Congress, trying to push out of the way ICE officers and other cops because they're worried about these migrants in these, by the way, I think Chris will tell us, beautiful facilities. They're not living, they're living better than most Americans are, even in the facilities.
Jeez.
But I thought that that point by Bill was very poignant.
Last election, it was all the gender stuff, the insistence that men can have babies and such. And now I fear that we like the terrorists is the new that. Liberals need to push back on the dumb ideas that come from their children. The Democrats' problem is the energy of the party is with the young and the young are with the terrorists. That's not good.
No, it's not good. But I've never really, if you heard anyone position it that way.
No, I haven't.
I haven't either. But Bill certainly did over the weekend.
Here is the dilemma for Democrats. Their young people, their key constituency, not only don't like their own civilization, they like the wrong one. They actually think Hamas is a liberation movement. They chant for the Houthis. They're chanting, "We will honor our martyrs" at Yale. They're looking for love in all the wrong countries. At an AOC Bernie Sanders rally in Idaho last month, someone threw a Palestinian flag over an American flag, and the crowd erupted in approval. What should have happened after that is one of the adults on stage should have told their young loyal followers, "This is not a symbol of freedom. This is."
Yeah. The American flag is a symbol
right.
of freedom. It's outrageous to me that many of these young people have no appreciation for the freedoms with which they are afforded. And it's not getting better. Look, we've been talking about this for a long time. I've been talking about this issue on the radio probably for 30 years because it's been disintegrating for that long, maybe even longer. But certainly in the last 20 years, it has been exacerbated. And I don't really understand where it comes from outside of the indoctrination and the brainwashing that goes on out there, certainly in higher academia. I think that's been well established.
Less than 1 in 4 Democrats under 30 say they're proud to be an American. 54% what? Say they're embarrassed by it. Embarrassed. Like America's your mom picking you up at school? You're embarrassed to be an American? Well, guess what? The feeling's mutual because you have no perspective. Is America perfect? No, of course not. No country is. But the U.S. is leagues ahead of the rest of the world on most of the progressive issues that are important to young people. America has 14 million women-owned businesses. 17% of black women are starting businesses, which is faster than white women or white men. Gay Americans are free to marry, and 49% of them own property. Yes, in America, gays buy buildings. In other places, they get thrown off them.
That's never acknowledged.
Never.
It's never acknowledged. We've made progress in this country. Now, I would say, I would argue pretty much until August of 2014 that on racial issues, we were making some progress, but we're not. And it's been since Ferguson. And you have another embarrassing, really sickening example of this, what happened. We talked about this at the beginning of the show in Sue's neighborhood, my former neighborhood, Holly Hills, last night. You literally had a group of, I got to be careful here because then I'll be accused of being racist, a group of people, of one color in particular taking over a complete area of the city of St. Louis. Now, we've talked about downtown. We've talked about downtown crime. This is not downtown. This is in a lovely area right near Carondelet Park. And at 9 in the evening, it wasn't 2 in the morning.
Nope.
You had people that were doing burnouts in the middle. They say more than 100 cars were involved. The police claim that they stripped these cars. I'm, you know, when we talked about this with Jane, they say that they put strips down and they hit 50 cars. I don't think so. I think that's a manufactured number. But more importantly than that, there were, and we're going to play the audio when Steve Butch joins us in the next hour. You can watch it right now on the X, formerly Twitter. If you go to my account, at Mark Reardon, KFTK, or Jane's, she's been probably posting more videos than I have, you can see young African-American women yelling at white people, pointing out their race, pointing out that they're white people, when white people are simply saying, hey, this is our neighborhood. We have kids. We're about getting ready to go to sleep, and this is not acceptable in our area, nor should it be acceptable anywhere. But they play the race card in reverse fashion. We're not going to solve that issue. There is no way we can solve that cultural issue. So I don't know where that leaves us, because it's horrifying. It really is
horrifying. We need more police. That's it. And nobody will address it. The mayor won't address it. The police chief won't address it. So then what?
But how do you address the racial component? Because I said this in the last hour. If what happened last night was exactly the same, and I know that sometimes you can't draw the exact parallels, but let's just say it was some incident with a bunch of Hoosiers from wherever, right? And they're causing trouble in the city of St. Louis. A bunch of white rednecks, right? Let's say that. And those white rednecks were in an African-American neighborhood or a mixed neighborhood, because that's a mixed neighborhood. There's African-American.
Yeah, yeah.
And they started yelling at the people who came out of their homes to find out what in the actual F was going on. And they're pointing out, oh, white person called that. If a white person did that, even if it was a white redneck to African-Americans, that would lead Channel 4, Channel 5. They'd give the video to CNN. The Post-Dispatch would have written probably an editorial and 3 articles since last night. Meantime, they have nothing. They have nothing. This is a viral video that's gone across the country, and our local paper won't even address it. Now, I know why they won't address it, and this is what I said on Twitter today, because the damn editors at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch are trying to figure out a way that they can play the race card and blame the white residents of Holly Hills. You know, that may sound like a slight exaggeration, but I think that's what they do. They don't want to touch the reverse racism, and that's exactly what it is, because if those people that did this and used these words last night were white, they would be charged with hate crimes. That I think hate crimes are ridiculous, by the way. A crime is a crime. But that's what the left wants to do, and that's what they try to do. They try to prosecute someone for just saying these things. I'm not suggesting we do that. I'm suggesting we get the erratic, out-of-control, lawless behavior to stop.
Yeah.
And to have a police presence where because this is pretty obvious. Sue and Jane was on fire, if you missed her at the beginning of the last hour. They know that there are no consequences. They know that the cops won't give chase. They know that they can move to the next intersection. And I mentioned this in the last hour as well. Fox has a story that's running today about Kansas City, where the exact same thing is happening. The difference is they seemingly have community leaders that are speaking out and saying, we're not going to let this happen.
That's right. We're going to shut it down.
I am particularly disappointed in the mayor of St. Louis, because I think the new mayor of St. Louis, Kara Spencer, should have come out today and very forcefully said something about what happened last night. She did not do that. She's got a busy schedule, right? We're going to talk to Steve Butts about that. That was his neighborhood as well.
Yep.
State Rep Steve Butts, who was just, I can't remember if he was here on Friday. I don't think he was, but he's on the roundtable on a regular basis, and he's pissed about this, and he's justifiably pissed about it. But we had a police spokesperson, Mitch McCoy, pretty good radio name, that comes out and says, blah, 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 blah. Where the hell is Robert Tracy? Did Kara Spencer and Robert Tracy have a discussion today? And did they talk about what happened last night in Holly Hills and say, we can't have this happen? We had people from the neighborhood like Sue who are calling the police, and there was no response. No response whatsoever. Now, they claim that there's strips that were put down. Maybe there were some. They didn't do jack. And I'm not blaming any of this on the actual officers.
No.
None of it. I'm blaming it on Robert Tracy and the city of St. Louis and this board of aldermen, Tishara, and gosh, I hope not Kara Spencer, but let's head in a better direction here.
Get more at 971talk.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.